Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by you. That's right, because TSS is listener supported. Find out more at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
In this corner, we have the not so lean, but still very mean, James Kennison. In this corner, from deep within Canada's pants, it's John Stein Clubber.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hey, you watching?
Hey, he was cooking pizza.
I turned into a bat. I flew to this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show, where we're telling hilarious real-life stories and inviting you to do the same. This is episode 293, on our way to 300. I'm James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John, and I was born a baby.
Awesome!
Yeah, I started off like that.
That's pretty young.
I thought about being born a teenager, but my mom disagreed.
My son said I was never a baby. He always calls me an old man, and I said there. I was 11 just the other day, and he goes, "You were never a child. You were born. Old. You were a baby, a wrinkled baby." And he's never heard of Benjamin Button, so he didn't. Oh. He didn't make he. As far as he knows, he's made up the idea of being born old. And
does he think you're getting younger or what?
He says I'm just old and I've always been old. He's like his dad, okay? He's learned how to joke in a mean way, in a playful mean way, but he hasn't learned to control it yet. So he steps over the line occasionally, and I have to be like, dude, you're talking to your mom. I'm about to smack you across the room, you know? So he's got a new superpower, and he's learning how to use it. But the power of snark. We always start with a story, and that's what we're going to do now. This one's called Paper Vapor, and it comes to us from Steve Atronis 37. Hey, James and John, Steve Atronis 37 from the Discord server here. I just thought I'd share a little story that happened over the weekend, which I thought you guys, especially John, would enjoy. So my wife and I were in our room. I just read through some junk mail and tossed it on the bed. I laid on the bed and was talking to my wife, and then I had to, let one fly. So
you just say fart. That's works for me.
I figured I could let it out quietly without letting my wife know. So I let it out, and my wife looks at me in mild disgust. I figured I got caught, which is weird because no noise was made. And I asked her, how did she know? And she told me, she said, I saw the papers move on the bed. Apparently, when I let it go, there was a piece of paper from the junk mail near my jumbo guns, and the force of the broken wind moved it enough for my wife to visually see a fart in action. We had a good laugh about it for a while. Well, that's my story. See you in divorce court. Hope you guys have a great show. Steve Atronis. I added that part. She's not going to leave him over that. I'm sure he's got other reasons, or she has other reasons.
That's pretty powerful.
Force
that had to escape from that man's body.
I've ever moved anything before.
I moved a lot of people out of a room.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was talking to my brother, David, who's been on the show.
I know that guy.
He had a colonoscopy this week.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
And he was telling me that his bowels were full of air as a result of all of this probing and such.
Yeah.
And how he was just letting out these horrible sounding farts, but there was no smell at all.
It's just air.
It's just sterile air. Yeah. Or in theory, sterile. And he said, it's bad because he said, me and my wife had an informal silent vow that we would never fart in front of each other.
Informal silent vow.
Yeah. And he says, dude, I'm busting my butt over here. Cause I kept hearing, he's talking to me normal, like, yeah, this, and it wasn't that bad. And I woke up and then you'll just hear her go, David. He's like, sorry. He apparently couldn't control it either, which is even better.
No, they have to inflate your bowels with air so they can see around in your colon.
Nuts. So that's crazy.
It just, what goes in must come out.
Absolutely. Well, he was
like a balloon.
He was, hopefully he got a get out of jail free pass from his wife on that one. So I don't know.
Yeah.
My wife would just push me out of the car at a fast rate of speed, and that would be the end of me. Hey, listen.
You'd hover.
Yeah. I wonder if David could move some papers. I'm sure he could. He could probably finish a Harry Potter book with some of his farts, just from front to back, flipping every page along the way. Anyway,
that should be a Guinness World Book of Records.
See how many pages you can flip on a fart. Yeah.
So far, Steve's got it with some junk mail. So
he's got the record. So Steve Atronis is the world record holder in paper vapor. So
paper vapor.
I was proud of that. That title.
That's a good title. I wasn't sure what was going to happen there, but nicely done.
Thank you. I work hard for the show, you know. Anyway, let's rewind the week. All right. I shall begin. I went and saw Shazam with my son last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah,
been thinking about seeing that myself. Should I?
You should take the boys. It's a little sweary for whatever it's rated. I assumed it would be PG. I didn't even look, to be honest, and I should have. Mm. But it was very good, very family, or a strong family message, and just a good, funny, hilarious show. It was good. It was a good thing. Okay. And I loved his uniform and glow in the dark and everything is just cool. So we had a good time. And after it was over, you know, you go by the bathroom. Well, I open the bathroom door and immediately I see, of course, the urinals to the right and the sinks to the left. And then the stalls, I see a man holding the door to the stall that he was apparently just in at a 45 degree angle. One corner, like the top bracket is still attached, but the bottom one has broken loose and he's holding it. Oh. And immediately I'm like, dang it. I am 2 seconds too late for my weekly update. I just missed it by 2 seconds. If I'd have been in here, I would have seen him coming out and I would have seen him open the door and the whole thing flop over and him go and grab it. But I did get to at least see him holding it. And like, he was still in the phase, like, what do I do? Do I fix it? Or is it my responsibility? What's going on? So he's trying to pivot it back over. And eventually he realizes, you know, I can't stay here forever. What if somebody needs this? I can't hold the door for them, you know? So I guess I just leave it. And he did, he left it hanging there by one hinge. And so I don't know what he was doing in there. But Steve Atronis, he might have moved some mail around, but this guy, he blew the door off his stall.
Blew the door off the hinges.
And I missed it by 2 seconds.
And so. You missed it.
So I don't have a weekly update this week because of that. So,
oh, thanks, dude in the bathroom who couldn't wait a couple more seconds till James got in there.
Dadgummit.
Punk.
All right.
I have a little bit of a rant and a question. Ooh, maybe.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't want to, here's the deal.
Okay.
You know, we live in a world where we've got to have internet almost pretty much,
right? Yeah.
Or at least a country. Right. I mean, to be able to watch TV, be able to communicate, even to do your work. You got to have internet. Well, you pay a good service for this, right?
Right.
Especially in the U.S. where everything is regulated and monopolized and all that fun stuff. Well, my neighbors got internet the other day, and or they got cable installed in the house or something. But you know how they have to come through and bury the cable and all that fun stuff?
Okay.
They had to cut through my yard to do it, which is not a problem. I don't care. But what they did when they cut through my yard is they cut my cable.
Oh!
They cut everything. And I'm like, so I had seen the utility people out there marking where all the lines are and stuff, but they didn't ever come in my yard and mark the fact that, oh, hey, here's this man's internet cable going through his yard. Let's make sure not to cut that.
Wow.
No, they come through and they cut it. And I come home yesterday and Johnny's like, he wants to play Fortnite. And I'm like, well, I don't know. So I'm looking.
I'm having withdrawals, Dad. Come on.
Yeah. He doesn't get to play but like a couple times a week. And, you know, Wednesdays is one of those days. And so he's like, I've reset the router like five times. I can't do it. Nothing's happening. So I call up the cable company and I'm talking to him. And then I just happened to walk outside and I noticed that they had cut through my yard. And I'm like, I know what the problem is.
Yeah.
And so I tell them and they're like, oh, let me put you on hold for a second. So they put me on hold and they try and ping my router and make sure everything.
They're pinging an earthworm.
Yeah. Like it's not going to work. I can tell that it's been cut because it's going right through. And then they're like, oh, well, okay.
You now really have been upgraded to the wireless service, sir.
Right. Wireless. Give them a wire. They say, well, we're sorry about that. We'll have a tech come out, you know, Friday to fix it. I want to be angry with this customer service person and say mean things and stuff, but I think it's not their fault, you know? I mean, it's their fault that they cut it because they weren't paying attention to what they were doing, but she wasn't there whenever they cut it. So I'm like, oh, thank you. And she's like, we'll refund the 2 days of non-service that you have. I'm like, oh, thank you for that.
Grand total of $4.58.
Probably. So that's my, it's frustrating, man. I don't know. I just want to be frustrated.
Yeah, but you sound angry. I would love to see you angry at a customer service person. Look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But this, you know what? How is your day? How are you doing?
You know, hope that I would be that nice, but I know that I've got to, I can not be sometimes, but.
Yeah, right. You're like Mr. Rogers. I can't imagine Mr. Rogers or Bob Ross having an argument, you know? That's you.
I'm not good at arguing. That's why I don't do it. But so that's that.
Well, good.
Hey, so I got this question though, and it just came to me, and that's actually what I wrote down for my weekly rewind. So tomorrow's Good Friday.
Okay.
And, I was finishing up an email to somebody and I'm like, wanted to wish them kind of a happy weekend kind of thing. And I don't like to say happy Easter because Easter it's, you know, it's got these pagan roots and all that stuff. And so for me, you know, internally I struggle with using that pagan goddess's name for our Savior's resurrection. But regardless of that, I was going to like say happy Good Friday. And I'm like, well, I don't know if that would be really a good thing to say or not.
Because isn't that the day Christ died?
That's what we remember on Good Friday is the fact that Christ was crucified and died. So I don't think that saying happy Good Friday is probably a good thing.
Yeah, why don't you call some old ladies that have lost their husbands on their anniversary of their husband's death and just say, hey, happy death day, ladies.
I'm guessing that you're in agreement with me. I don't need to be saying happy Good Friday.
No, I don't think
you should. Maybe I should say lamentful Good Friday.
Just say have a nice day.
Yeah, have a nice
Good Friday. How about that? That separates it out. It's like we're all experiencing this. And I hope it's a nice one for you. I hope you have a nice day.
I think that's
so good. So tell me more about this pagan stuff. Because personally, I'm going to just be honest. I love me some pagans because they have created some of the best
holidays.
And the way we celebrate, I love dragging a tree in and decorating it as a pagan ritual, you know?
Yep. Saturnalia. Yeah. We get it from that.
I like jelly beans and candy baskets. And I didn't know the name Easter was bad. So tell me about that.
So listen, if you're a pagan listening right now, that's okay. Your holidays truly are great. And back in the early days of Christianity, when the church was trying to convert the pagans in the area, they adopted your holidays and they turned them into reasons for good worship. And I think that's great too. So good high five handshake.
Well, there, yeah, a lot of hymns used to be bar songs too. And they did the same thing. They took the music and changed the words. So,
I mean, Martin Luther did that, right? A Mighty Fortress Is Our God was a typical tune that they sang.
Wouldn't doubt it, because that thing sounds like a German woman sings it.
Yeah.
A big, stereotypical German woman sings that song. A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Anyway.
Braunschweiger, yeah. Und Schwarzen und Schweingold. Yeah. But so Easter, which is celebrated at a different time of year every year because it's based on a lunar calendar and not actually an event. It was the birth of spring, you know, the changing of things and stuff. So there was a pagan goddess. I think it was called Aoster, something like that. So that's where we get the word Easter from, is from that thing. So, you know, Easter really has nothing to do with Christ or the church, even. It has to do with that. So that's, you know, at least in all the other holidays.
But if you're clueless and you don't know and you think Easter is resurrection, I've always thought of Easter as Resurrection Day. That's what it means to me.
Well, it is. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it means to me too.
So
I just, for some reason, I have this inner conflict whenever I say the word. So I say it, obviously, and I say Happy Easter.
I'll be honest,
Sunday,
this is probably a GOK topic, but I don't get tripped up on this kind of stuff, and I'll tell you why. It's because they're made up. They're made up holidays. The only thing that we are told to do is preach the gospel to every creature or nation, and then to take communion and do this in remembrance of me, you know, and be baptized and be saved. And people who defend Christmas and you're taking the cross out of Christmas and Halloween's of the devil. I don't trip on any of that because none of it is God stuff. It's our stuff that we've created. Whoever created it first and whoever changed it and all that kind of stuff, whatever. I don't really care because we made it up. Jesus is not upset if you don't celebrate Christmas. He never told you to celebrate his birth.
Right.
You know? And so
I don't even think he told us to celebrate his resurrection.
Exactly. He didn't.
Well, we do it because we're so excited about it, right?
We're just happy to do it. So he definitely probably doesn't want us celebrating Good Friday.
That's the one day I'd like to forget.
Yeah, he's like, guys, I'm going to be honest. That was pretty rough. You know, I was pretty depressed that day. So I'd rather you guys just ignore that day. Go eat some fish and shut up. So yeah, I like to talk to people who get really up in arms about all this because I just wanted to take a step back and say, what do you think God thinks about Christmas? He doesn't. Right. He doesn't think about Christmas at all. He didn't. They defend it like it's part of their faith, and it's not.
Yeah,
it's not. But anyway.
And I'm not the kind of guy that is like, oh, well, how dare you, you know, celebrate any of these. I just, for me personally, it's, you know, if
now that you know,
do what you do.
It's hard for you to enjoy Easter. I understand. It's all right.
And do I do the thing? Should I mansplain to everybody in the world that has ears to, I don't think I need to do that. I don't need to push my personal convictions on other people like
that's
that.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Wait for them to catch up. But for me, Easter means Jesus is alive, and so I redefined it for me. So
yes, and amen.
And if some foreign deity tries to step in, I'm gonna Good Friday that girl. I'll tell you that right now. So We'll see how that works out. All right, it's time for a feature story.
Let me tell y'all a story. Let me tell y'all a story.
All right, I like to call this story, I'm going to title it, There's a Freaking Roach Up My Pants. Okay. So it's also the plot. It's also the theme. You've already heard the midpoint. You know the protagonist. You know the antagonist.
Villain.
I told the story in just the title. But here, this was from Florida. We were in Florida. And, you know, Florida is great. And it has a good reputation. And I don't know why. Because Florida hates the people that live in Florida. Because Florida is hot and humid. It has terrible weather and storms. It rains all summer. I don't know how it has the Sunshine State designation, because there's hardly any sun in the summer. It's thunderstorms constantly. The wildlife roams free. There are things that are wandering around that are behind bars at your local zoo right now, and they're just walking around free. There's even a thing on the website. If you have an alligator in your pool, you cannot call the city. The city will not come and get it. You have to pay somebody to come and get the alligator out of your pool.
That's interesting.
Yeah. We had to look it up because there was an alligator that was in the park, and we didn't know what to do about it. They took care of that. But if it's in your pool, it's private property. They're not, you know, anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Call animal control to control the animals.
There are birds that can kill you, like tall, skinny birds.
What?
There was a man that was killed last week. He raised these emu kind of birds. He fell and they just lit into him and killed him. So
that's in Florida?
It's Florida.
Daggum.
All right. Florida has also a lot of bugs and lizards and stuff and snakes, because there's never really a winter there. And so they just continue. I'm not a person that believes in evolution as in monkeys to people, but I believe in evolution as in, like, that a species can evolve within the species, you know, like you could gain some extra
adaptation
and stuff. And if that's really going on, it's really going on in Florida, because the bugs there are bigger. They don't have a season off, so they have more time to practice being creepy and gross. And the lizards, I kid you not, you could walk from your car to the front door and see 14 lizards scurrying away.
That's true.
It's very true. And it should
be tiny baby dinosaurs.
It becomes something that you just deal with. But the truth is, Florida doesn't want you. And trying to keep your house free of pests is very, very, very much a futile exercise. You can spray, you can put a barrier of spray around your house, and there's always going to be a giant cockroach that comes in through the battlements and makes its way into your house. Now, I've talked about these guys before. Some call them palmetto bugs. Some call them water bugs. I just call them cockroaches, just giant roaches. Yeah. They're not roaches. Yes, they are. If you hold up a little roach and that thing, they are related. Okay?
Punks is what they are.
They're just big, giant, dumb versions. Now, the little ones are there for food. They want to get into your bread and eat through the plastic and poop all over your shelves and stuff. Those are gross roaches. These just are stupid and they wander in. They're like walking tanks. And some of them are so ancient and old, they have decorations on their bodies, like tribal war paint that they develop over time. So I tell you all that to also tell you another thing, that these jokers can be as big as your thumb. And I'm not talking, you know, look at your thumb right now. Some of you ladies might need to imagine a wider thumb, a large man's thumb. They can get really, really big. And these jokers can also, wait for it, they can fly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Not a lot of people. It's a
freaky sound when they fly, too, dude, right?
They make a lot of noise. It's not quite like a hummingbird experience. It's quite different. Yeah, it's like a little helicopter freaking out, like a drone that's gotten drunk and forgot how to fly properly. They only do it in emergencies. It's not like you just see them flying around. Gosh, that would be scary. I never even thought of that. If they just flew around to get from place to place, they do crawl, but in a fearful situation, a fight or flight type of situation, they will take flight, and their nastiness is you just don't even know how gross they are when they're all unfolded, you know, I call it Bumblebee, you know, like Bumblebee when he changes from a car into a robot. Right there in the middle somewhere, he's just this horrible, if you froze the picture, he would be this horrible mutation of robot and car, and you wouldn't know where was what, and were you looking at his crotch, or are you looking at his shoulder blade? You don't know. That's what they turn into. They just kind of unfold, and they've got all these wings and dust, and they're grosser than gross. So I titled this story, A Freaking Roach Up My Pants. And that's because there was a roach on my ceiling, a big one, and my wife wanted me to get rid of it. And so
she doesn't like them, does she?
No, she is scared to death of them. And we don't get them here, thankfully. But in Florida, they were a constant thing. She did build up a resistance, to her credit, and she did learn how to take care of them. But you don't want to really squish them, because first of all, they're hard to squish. And second, they have a lot of juice in them. They're juicy little critters. And
they're crunchy too. They make that crunching sound when you step on them. Very crunchy.
And they stick to your shoe, kind of gross. And so anyway, it's on the ceiling. So I get something to sweep it down with. Usually you hit them, they fall straight down. You hit them with a towel or a book or shoot them with a gun, and they die. And then you take a flush fire. Them down the toilet or something. Yeah, fire's good. A steak through the heart works, garlic, things like holy water. Sometimes
silver bullet usually is what it takes.
Yeah. Yep. Well, anyway, this joker didn't fall. He took flight.
Oh,
and he flew straight down to my legs, which made me jump. And it also apparently made him feel like he needed to fly some more, like he had not landed in a safe area. I had on a pair of shorts, very loose fitting, you know, pajama type shorts that you would wear maybe to work out in, maybe to lounge around the house in, maybe to go hunting for large freaking roaches in. And that joker reversed and did a 180, and he flew upwards, and he went right up the left leg of my shorts. And then the noise stopped. He was in there. And I immediately began to disrobe. I was dancing and stomping. All right, you know that scene in all the single ladies, and they're kind of leaned over, punching the ground, and their legs are kind of switching back and forth. And Beyonce, you don't know. So maybe our listeners will. I'm doing like a really fast version of that, like running in place. And the door's wide open, but I don't care. There's a flipping giant nasty roach up my pant leg. And my wife is right there. I just start disrobing. And I didn't have to take off my undies, thankfully. They were form-fitting enough to where I knew they weren't there. But that roach was straight up in my pants. And
there's a roach in my pants.
It's going to make me do the roach dance. But I didn't, luckily no one saw me in my transformative state without, you know, halfway off. But my wife still laughs
oh man,
to tears when she talks about the day the roach flew up my shorts. And because she's like, you didn't even look. You just started taking off your pants. There could have been anybody around. I was like, dude, I don't care. Even if I was out in the yard, a roach goes up my pants, the pants coming off, dude.
Oh, boy.
There's no way. Uh-uh. I can't handle that crap. And he was in there, too. And I think I, like, shook him out and got him out of there. But that's why I still freak out in a special way whenever something in a movie, like, crawls up somebody's leg, you know, like Indiana Jones or something. There'll be a snake that goes up their pant leg and they have to pull it out later. And I'm just freaking out because I know what that's like, because those bugs are crispy and crunchy and they have freaking Batman arms, you know,
those legs are spiky
off their legs. Yeah. I don't know what you call those on his gauntlets, but,
spikes,
the spikes. Yeah. I'm sure there's a name, but that stuff was touching me, and I don't like that stuff. It was a place of a place is very special to me, and I did not want it tainted with the bugs.
What do you mean?
All I know is I take extra care of everything that's in that area. I have to clean it extra. I have to keep it from getting hurt extra, and I have to keep it pest free. Okay.
Pest free. Yes.
That is number one.
Absolutely.
On the list. There's no pests allowed in James's, game room, so to speak. So
pants.
I just said game room.
Said that. I don't understand.
Let me play this.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
All right, just making sure.
Okay.
It's a special area and it's reserved for only certain people, one person. So two people at most. All right. Anyway, it's time for some listener stories, finally. That's right, John. Just stay out of my game room, dude.
Okay. No problem with that.
Hey, we're going to start with an interesting fact today. Okay. Yeah. The first, this was sent to us by Samantha in Louisiana. She said, it's interesting. The first execution of a prisoner by electric chair in the U.S. was done with a Westinghouse generator. It was.
All right. Well, here's the truth to that story. They told him what they were hooking him up to, and he actually died of laughter. Yeah. You're going to dent me with what?
It's not going to work. Well, the scary thing is they flipped the switch. They shocked him for 17 seconds. They turned it off. They declared the guy dead, and then he started breathing.
Oh.
And they're like, flip the switch again. And so they shocked him at 200 volts or whatever, and or 2000 rather. And for a few more seconds, and it kind of cooked him. And it was stinky. And the reason why Westinghouse got to use his technology was because Edison was asked what would be the most humane and or whatever way to kill a man with electricity. And he wanted that associated with Westinghouse's AC current. So he told them to go to Westinghouse to get their technology. Wow. So
they can end a life by that way, but they can't make a TV.
Yeah.
That works longer than a year.
Well, they can't even get killing a guy right. So, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm about that way with Vizio right now. Because I have a Vizio TV that bought. I spent a good bit on it. Don't
jinx my Vizios, man.
Oh, and I hung it up on the wall in the living room. I moved it from downstairs. It was my television for my office, and I moved it upstairs to share it with the family. And within a week, the button turns on, but black screen. So Vizio and Westinghouse, man. If you guys want to sponsor us, you better perk up. Better
get better some- change our minds quick.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah. Anyway, go ahead, John. I kind of skipped ahead there. Why don't you bless us with a story?
I got a story. It comes to us from Josh. It's a made-up story is the title.
Yeah, it is made up. I'm going to tell you why, because this is fake.
You think so?
Yes. I have.
I did pre-read this, I think.
I have, in the past, I have shared things on the show from middle schoolers. And by the way, this is middle school drama.
Dang it! Move out of the way, stupid.
I have shared things on the show that have been later, they've told me years later that they made it up just so they could have a story to go on the show. Because our middle schoolers are all grown now. You know, it's been over 10 years.
Yeah, some of them have kids.
And this one is more recent, but it smacks big time of being a completely fake story. And the other day, we kind of, I'm just going to give you this disclaimer. You're going to notice a lot of middle school drama stories, because if the message from a few weeks ago was me flushing the toilet on all our poop, puke, vomit, and pee stories and booger stories, then this one is me flushing the toilet on a bunch of middle school drama. So
this is us letting the middle schoolers out of class.
Yeah. Yes. We got to get this out of my inbox so I can get some good stuff. So
this is a promotion service, right?
Yes, yeah. So just enjoy it as much as you possibly can.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
All right. This one's apparently made up. At least we'll find out in a few years.
Made up story.
Josh says, I listen to your show every day now, and then on my way to school, that's what he does.
Yeah.
My story involves something that happened to me when I was in seventh grade. By the way, he's a sophomore in high school now, he says. So,
oh.
Yeah. Well, maybe he won't. Maybe he didn't make this up. Maybe he's truthful. Who knows? We'll see.
No.
I was in my school. I guess I don't have to use that. I was in my school gym locker with my friends as we were being assigned lockers. You know, I read that sentence like four times. It doesn't make sense. I was in my school gym locker with my friends as we were being assigned lockers.
He was apparently standing in a locker with his
friends.
That's
what I'm picturing. I'm picturing this big locker, and they're all crammed in there because the jocks pushed them in there.
They haven't been assigned their own individual lockers to be pushed in yet, so they crammed them all into that one.
Into one. That was their assignment. So yeah. They're all in there. And midway into our assignments, our PA system told the student body, we are under lockdown, which I thought was a drill. Lulz. No, that I just said.
And I just grabbed my phone. Just in case you don't know what lockdown is, it's new. They didn't do this when we were kids, but because of the school shootings and things like that, they have lockdown drills now. And
yeah.
It's a way, you know, for kids to protect themselves and teachers to protect the kids and on and on and on. It's just as serious as what we used to do, which was we would have bomb drills.
Bomb threats. Yeah. And everybody would go out to the bleachers.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what that is.
Lockdown. Yeah. For all you old fogies who don't know. So he thought it was a drill. I grabbed my phone, my backpack, and my off-the-shelf internet tablet. It wasn't an iPad. It was an off-the-shelf internet tablet, just so you know. Off-the-shelf
internet tablet. Wow, he had to stick that in there. That's the logic of middle schoolers for you. His life may be in danger, but he wants to make sure you know his parents only gave enough money for the freaking minimum internet tablet possible.
Yeah.
Just get his dig in there somewhere. What a butt.
Thanks, Mom and Dad. Couldn't even get me a Chromebook.
My life's in danger and just off-the-shelf internet tablet.
He grabbed all that stuff and he ran away with all the guys. And since we were supposed to be quiet, our only way of communicating with our parents was through email or texting. So my phone was dead, so I started emailing my parents saying everything was okay. Minutes later, our school's resource officer came in through the door with a 12-gauge shotgun in his hand and walked out.
He just walked in and walked out with a shotgun. Nobody said a word.
Nobody. You boys be still right there. I'll be right back. Shortly after, we learned that a mental patient had managed to escape and was on the loose. Long story short, the mental patient was locked up and the rest of us were fine. Like I said, this might have come a bit late, but I couldn't resist the chance to share this with you, Josh.
Okay, now, Josh, I'm sorry, man, but there was not one funny thing in that entire story.
I don't know, being crammed in the locker with all of his guy friends, that was kind of funny to
but
me.
But that's not intentionally funny. It's got lots of humor in it. It's just not intentional. And it's totally made up. There's no, I mean, it's probably based in some truth that they had a lockdown. But a guy walking through the school with a 12-gauge shotgun, I don't think so. And how many gauges does a shotgun have? 12, apparently. Did you ask?
20.
Yeah. I mean, did you ask specifically, sir, you know, Mr. Resource Officer?
What gauge is your shotgun? I'm basing my level of security based on the gauge of your shotgun.
Yeah, I'm calculating your odds of survival on my off-the-shelf tablet. Internet tablet,
mind
yes,
you.
Yes.
Who talks like that? Who says off-the-shelf internet tablet? Josh does.
All right.
So now that's done. Like, that story is out of my hair. Thank you, folks, for listening to it. I appreciate it. Yes. All right. So I'm gonna let you go and tell another one, John, because I was supposed to do the interesting fact right then. So
okay. Well, just pretend that James has did his interesting fact, and now I get to read.
I'll make up one. Hold on. You know, an interesting fact is that it looks like Thomas Edison was a greedy butthole. So
oh, you know what?
You're worried about Easter. I can't even say Thomas Edison without feeling guilty now. So,
you know what? He thought ahead. And you know how everybody, when you get a bright idea, a light bulb appears over your head or whatnot?
Yeah.
He didn't want the light bulb to be appearing over electrocuted people's heads.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That was it.
Thomas Edison. Okay. I get to read a story called Showing My Butt from Samantha in Louisiana. Hi, James and John. I've been listening to old episodes from the Nobody's Listening days, and I heard James and David talking about the phrase showing your butt.
Yeah.
You're
familiar with that phrase, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It means
showing out, just being stupid. Having an attitude, you know, quit showing your butt.
Throwing a temper tantrum.
I never even thought, like when I was growing up, we weren't allowed to say the word butt. Like butt was one of the bad words, but you could, my mom would say it and you could say, you know, showing your tail. That's another thing they would say too. Quit showing your tail.
I'm really showing your tail, Jack.
Showing your butt. You just showed your butt today. And I never thought of it literally. I just always associated that phrase with somebody being a punk, you know.
But yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Just having a tantrum or whatnot in front of people. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think that it's ever been used towards me, but probably has. So, all right. So I'm from the South as well. So I grew up with this phrase. I thought I'd tell you about the first time I heard it. When I was about 7 or 8, I remember my family went out to eat at a Red Lobster after church.
Ooh, big fun. Big stuff.
That, you know, I got to be honest, Red Lobster is probably the first place the first restaurant I remember eating out at as a child.
It was definitely my first sit down restaurant experience.
Yeah. It was like a high class meal too. We didn't go there. I mean, we didn't go out to eat at all much, but when I was a little kid, I remember getting to go to Red Lobster.
It did impress too, because you got to walk past a tank with actual lobsters in it.
I mean, that was part of the waiting experience. I don't even remember waiting, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, we were eating fancy, man. Red Lobster. And I would have popcorn shrimp. That was my favorite.
Red Lobster for the seafood lover in you.
That's right. Okay, back to the story. I'm sorry. It was the 4th of July, and I was very proud of my patriotic outfit that we were wearing at the Red Lobster after church. I was wearing a red shirt, blue skirt, and white tights.
Aw.
And Samantha is a girl, just in case you're wondering.
7 or 8, yeah.
7 or 8, in fact, yeah. Sometime during the meal, I visited the restroom.
Hey, how you doing, restroom? Good.
Hi.
Doing good. Good. Thanks for visiting.
that'd be the worst. If you're like actually a restroom, people only go to you to dump.
Yeah. Just dump all their problems.
Personify a bathroom. Anyways, as we were leaving the restaurant, I was walking in front of my parents and they began to chuckle and my mom reached up and pulled my skirt right out of my tights where it had been tucked since the restroom visit.
Oh, embarrassed.
Yep. So began the family joke that I like to show my butt when we went out to eat.
You just showed your tail, didn't you, Samantha?
Yes, Dad.
Oh, gosh. Right there.
Well, thanks for reading all my stories, says Samantha, and you are welcome. Thank you for sharing them, and that's thank right. you for that.
And by the way, Samantha's story does not fit in the middle school drama category. That was a decent story. I just have no way to relate to that because I don't wear dresses.
Ah, right.
You know, that's the thing about me is I'm pretty much my son, actually, Mr. Snarky Butt. They were talking about Jenna's outfits and how she selects them and all that. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm going to pick out my outfit too. And Jay's like, Dad, all you wear here, he says, here it is. You wear a t-shirt with a reference on it and blue jeans. And I'm like, yep, that pretty much sums it up right there.
That's your uniform. There's nothing wrong with that.
The whole thing. I mean, I have a drawer with blue jeans and I have two drawers full of cool, geeky t-shirts with references on them. So I have no problem with that. I'm proud, you know, proud to be.
Steve Jobs wore a black turtleneck and jeans every time we ever saw him, right?
Yeah. That's
so, but, hey.
I don't know. I think it's a problem for my son, but it's not a problem for me. This one's called Little Miss Sass. Speaking of sassy kids, she says, or this is from a dude, Dan Lewis, who also wears pants from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. I have a story that happened a couple years ago when my daughter was only 4 years old. One day I sat down on a chair and just happened to let out a little fart as I sat down. My daughter asked what the noise was. Now, I'm not one to fart and tell. I'm not quite as proud of farts as a certain podcast co-host seems to be. I wonder who he's talking about. Yeah.
David's not even here to defend himself.
So when my daughter asked what the noise was, I replied, maybe it was the chair. And her response was, maybe it was your butt. It was then that I realized that we've got a sassy one living under our roof. She's almost 7 years old now, and the sassiness continues to grow. In fact, my wife made up a new word to describe our daughter. You probably can't say it on the show, but the word she came up with was sasshole. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Can I say it?
I don't know.
It's not a bad word. It's
no, it's not.
Sasshole.
Sasshole. I'm not sure I understand. That's weird.
I feel dirty. Hold on. Let me check something.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
Okay. All right.
Might need to put another bumper at the beginning of this show just in case.
Yeah. 10 and a half and up. Anyway.
Yeah.
Of course.
Mommy, what's a sass hole?
Exactly. Why that's the emails I'm going to get. I'm going to get, because they know it's something bad. They just don't know what it is. It's not even that bad. But anyway,
I might have to do some apologizing later. So, I'm sorry.
So that's what the mom calls the daughter. Of course, she never says this word to our daughter out of fear that she'll repeat it when they're in public. But yes,
she will.
Yeah, no joke. We've got a sassy little one living with us. Her strong will may benefit her later in life, but for now, please keep us in your prayers. In fact, just pray for one of those hedges of protection around us. Just make sure my daughter's on the other side of the hedge, though. Maybe a hedge that can sprout some yummy berries to snack on. I could go for a yummy berry snack about right now. That would be good. Thank you, Dan Lewis, Williamsport, Pennsylvania. I wonder where she gets her sass from, Mr. A berry snack would be good right about now from a hedge of protection.
Yeah.
Yeah. P.S. He says, he did a follow-up. She has a great sense of humor to top off all the sassiness. She lost her first baby tooth today. After an evening, later in the evening, we were dyeing Easter eggs, and unbeknownst to us, she put her tooth into one of the bowls of dye. After a few minutes, she took it back out and said, look, I have my own Bluetooth. So,
oh man, that's brilliant.
So she's just as funny as she is sassy. Dan Lewis. All right.
Gumbo Bluetooth, Dad.
It's off the shelf Bluetooth, though.
Yeah.
Dadgummit.
Off the shelf internet tablet Bluetooth.
Spoiled kids. All right. Anyway, this is from Nate St. Clair. It's called Easter Story. And now I feel dirty saying Easter Story. Thanks, John.
No, man, don't. Mm-hmm.
Hey, James and John. This is Nate calling with a story for That Story Show. With Easter coming up, I was just remembered a story from when I was a teenager. My brother's about 10 years younger than me, and so it was him, myself, and my father in the car, and we were on the way to a Maundy-Thursday service.
Maundy-Thursday.
Now, for people who may not know, a Maundy-Thursday service is a quiet, somber, candlelit service to mourn the betrayal of Jesus. So we're on our way, and I'm talking to my dad, and I was wondering why Easter changes dates every year, and I asked him, does it have something to do with the Jewish calendar? At which point my younger brother, who was probably about 5, interjected with a question, as 5-year-olds do. He says, what does Jewish mean? So my dad explained, the Jews were God's chosen people, and he just kept asking question after question after question, like 5-year-olds do. So we finally get to the church, and he's still asking questions, and we're in the parking lot trying to get rush into the church, and we're late at this point, so the service has already started, so there's the flickering of candles coming through the windows of the church, and it's quiet. And as we walk into the silent, somber service, my brother blurts out one loud last question. Didn't Hitler kill the Jews?
Oh, man.
And he just leaves it right there.
He just left it. I was waiting for a follow-up.
That was it, man. Nate is a master storyteller, so.
God bless him.
Didn't Hitler kill them all? Oh,
oh.
Gosh. Unintentionally racist child. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Nate. And good luck with your Holy Week. It's time for an LBB of the week. All right. LBB of the week presented to you by Tom. He says, I have an LBB for you. Don't you hate those bots that call you at any time of the day on your cell phone? I kept getting calls from NSW/AST. What do they do? What they do, if you haven't seen this, is they market stuff to you. And when you pick up, you're into the call. I find this super annoying, and bots out there stuff you. That's what he says. Been listening to the show for about a year, and I'm on Discord, Tom. All right. So robot calls are definitely the LBB of the week. Yeah.
Yes.
I hate them, man.
If you ever get the one where it's like a cruise ship, and like as soon as you pick up, you hear this.
No.
It drives me crazy.
I just get the ones that are like, stay on the line, because what I get is neck braces, back braces, arm braces. It's like you're going to get an opportunity to steal, and I'll stay on the line because I want to tell them, don't be calling my cell phone. I'm on the do not call list. And I start to talk, and as soon as I start to talk, they hang up. And it's just, it makes me mad. It makes me mad at robots and the people that program them. So,
yeah.
LBB of the week for sure. All right, John, hit us with some middle school drama.
Because
I didn't even bother titling it. It's just middle school drama.
Hello, James and John. I am a middle schooler. Can you tell by my great diction and edification? That speech, by the way. I am a middle schooler, but you can just call me the Bat Ninja.
All right, the Bat Ninja. That's what we'll call you.
I will call you the Bat Ninja from here to for the Bat Ninja. I've been listening since the episode that you thought you were going to end. Nobody's listening, but I'm glad that you didn't. Lulz. This story happened a few weeks ago during a band/choir field trip to see an orchestra. My friend, who I will call Batman, leaned over during a long song and whispered, Frishavakadu. I'm not going to use the real spelling because that will give away things later in the story. It's pronounced Frishavakadu. I asked him what that means, and he simply said, Frishavakadu again. He kept on repeating this until I gave up and ignored him. Yet during the music, I spelled it out in my head and I realized what it meant. I turned to him and I said, "Fresh avocado!" Realizing that when it was spelled out, it meant fresh avocado. I like this podcast and I hope you keep on making episodes. Sincerely, the Bat Ninja.
Bat Ninja, you're banned from ever listening or submitting anything.
You can't listen anymore, the Bat Ninja.
It's just not funny. It's just stupid.
It's funny to the middle schooler, though.
I don't know, man. Sometimes
they do that kind of stuff.
Oh.
It's been a long time since we've been in middle school, remember?
Yeah. We have to channel that. Yeah, but this show is not for middle schoolers. I know a lot of middle schoolers listen, but here's a little handy tip I would like to share for the middle schoolers that do listen. When you send in a story, do not treat it like homework. I get these. You don't know how many one sentence that aren't, it's not even a complete sentence. These one sentence stories that I get, "Hey, I love the show. One time I was doing something and I tripped and fell down and no, you know what? I'm going to read it right now. This is one of them. I gave it to you, John, but I'm going to read it. It's here it is. "So I was 5 or 6 years old and I wanted to take my friend's huge dog out. My grandma said yes, so I took him on a leash and he dragged me down the side of the house, me crying. Ended bad. Enjoy this whole show, lols and stuff, David." That's what I get from middle school. And I need a little bit more. I need to know what's going on in your life. And if you didn't laugh while you were writing it, I'm not going to laugh while I'm reading it. I'm going to tell you that right now. So
no laughter of the writer, no laughter of the reader.
That's right. This one's called Middle School Drama. It's from Bella. One time my brother and my dad, they were going to this lady's house to mow her lawn. So for some reason, me and my sister had to go there and wait for him. Some reason, stupid reason, I'm sure. My sister was 4 years older than me, and at that time, I was 9, so my sister was 13. Thanks for the math.
Do math, yes.
So my brother and my dad go in and talk, and then they came out and started to mow the lawn, so me and my sister Lydia were just chilling in the car. We were playing some games when we decided that we would barely play sitting in the car seat, so we sat on the floor and play some games in the floor of the car! Exclamation points! Keep in mind that the time where we lived, there was a lot of crimes like leaving babies ... in the car when it was hot. So you're leaving the baby's stuff in the car when it's hot. So on with the story. So we noticed some teenagers walk by the car. Well, me and her are just playing games, having fun. So there was something my sister had said that made me laugh really hard. Well, I have a weird laugh, so it kind of sounds like I'm crying when I laugh. So when the teenagers walk by, I laugh R-L-Y hard. Rolly hard.
Rolly.
There's no vowels in there at all. That make a weird face, but they don't see us and they keep walking. Well, about a minute or two later, I see a boy from the group of teenagers walking back towards our car. So we just look at him and he's getting closer and closer. And then all of a sudden he looks through the open window and says, "Hey, baby," with like that voice people use when they're talking to babies. Well, he sees we are not actually babies and just giggles and runs away. So he thought that someone had left their baby in the car in the hot weather. So me and my sister die laughing. Hope you like my story, Bella. Bella, I'm sorry for the passing of you and your sister having died in the car from laughing. And
I'm glad that she was able to get this story out.
Yeah, this was an example of someone that worked really hard. I mean, they put a lot into this.
That probably took a couple hours to write.
Yeah, and I have to give them credit for that. But again, just not funny at all. Not even a little bit.
We need a sad song to play.
No,
these are long.
We just need here's what we need to do. We need to change it up a little bit.
Yes, because I really don't even know what was happening here.
Okay.
I kind of felt.
So one time, me and my brother and my dad, we went to this lady's house to mow her lawn. And for some reason, my sister and I had to go as well. It was boring. My dad went in and talked to the lady and then came out and started mowing the lawn. And me and my sister, we're just chilling in the car. I don't know how you chill in a car because it's hot outside, but we were. And we were like, you know what? I don't want to sit in the seats. Let's sit down in the bottom, where we could play Uno or something.
Yeah.
And so some teenagers were walking up and we were watching them and looking at them. And I said, hey, you want to play a trick on them? You know, because right about now, there's all these babies getting left in cars and we should use that to our advantage. So my sister was like, cool, I will follow along with whatever you do. And so as they walked by, I cried like a baby. And one of the boys came up and looked in and said, hey, baby, in a baby-like voice. And he saw it was just the two of us and we both spit on his face and laughed. And he ran away. And
I'm going to call the police on them.
And we were not babies. We were just buttheads in a car. Thank you so much. There's been the retelling of Bella's story.
Buttheads and baby seats.
That's right. That's right. this one's called Early Bird. This one falls in the middle school drama category. Hey, guys. I have a story that I thought you might enjoy. There was once a teacher who was in his mid-60s who thought at the high school which I attend. I am a freshman currently, and this story took place when I was in 7th grade, back when you stopped learning how to write. His teacher walked in early in the morning one day to school. Even though his class didn't start until 3 in the afternoon, he saw one of his students walking in the hallway and the conversation went like this. Why are you in the hallway? My class is starting very shortly. ? This student said back, sir, it is 11 in the morning. This teacher did not believe him and the principal had to break the news to him. Sorry, buddy. I got to break the news to you. Just chill for a minute. Okay. I know you're in your 60s, but, it's 11 in the morning. He then proceeded to walk into an empty classroom and fall asleep in a teacher's chair until the afternoon. To say the least, that teacher got a surprise. Love the show and keep up the good work. You guys are awesome. Yakov.
Thanks, Yakov.
Thank you. He tried. He did try.
Yeah.
But
do you think maybe English isn't his first language?
No, I think he did pretty good English. He did about right for a kid writing into our show. So
like mid-60s really isn't that old.
I don't know. I'm going to be old when I'm 60.
Well, you'll be 60, but you won't. I mean, I was a baby when I was born, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I forgot about that. No, let's see if we can fix this story too. Here we go. Oh, hi, guys. I have a story that you will enjoy, not may enjoy. So there's this teacher, and he's really mean, and he's old, and he's grouchy, and he's always standing outside of his classroom saying, get out of the hall, get to class. Get out of the hall, get to class.
And, quit picking your nose.
And he has
get off my lawn.
He has a class at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is after school. For some reason, it's at 3 o'clock, though. But that's when school ends. But that's when he was there. Well, moron got there early at 11 o'clock in the morning and he didn't know. So he's yelling at kids. Hey, get into class. It's about to start. And we try to tell him, no, sir, your class, it's 11 in the morning. It's not even close to time. And he didn't believe us. So we call the principal down and the principal takes him aside and puts his hand on one of his shoulders. Hold on. There we go. Wow. And he says, sir, I don't know how to tell you this, but it is in fact 11 o'clock. You're a crazy old man and you need to quit yelling at the students as they go by. And so he was so upset. He went in to the teacher's lounge. He took a nap until his class at 3 o'clock when school is over. Mm. And that is quite hilarious because he was standing there saying, "Hey, everybody get in the broom." And it wasn't that great. So this has been the retelling of Yakov's story. So, all right. It's not much better, but it was a little bit better. All right. If we use your story, we owe you a sticker. So email us your address if you want it. Okay.
Actually, I think some of them owe us a sticker.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Just stop sending stuff in. Send your stories, email and audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Follow us on Twitter @thatstoryshow. Review us on iTunes or wherever you found us because it helps a ton. If you want more great shows like this one, visit nlcast.com. We'd like to thank our patrons for their support, with special thanks to James Spangler, Eric Kube, Zane Estrada, Janu Strispek, and Carrie Wright. Become a patron today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow and get a sticker in the mail and get all kinds of behind the scenes content and all kinds of other good stuff. I feel like we give back more than what people give us. At least that's what I try to do. So, but remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, gross, or annoying happens to you, don't get stressed. Don't get depressed. Just think this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, John.
Thanks, James.
You need to get out of the hallway and get into my class right now.
Hey, what?
You need to get out of the hallway and get into my class right now.
It's not even.
I don't want to hear
not
it.
Not even after.
Get but in sir, the class.
It's 11 in the morning.
So, don't give me that. Don't you give me that.
Sir, I've got to call the principal.
Don't you give me that. You're showing your tail.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.